From borrowing money now to spending money. For shoppers, there's nothing quite as sweet as a bargain. Retailers know that, and they've become masters of what researchers call pricing cues, signals to consumers that there's a deal to be had, real or not. And these signs are everywhere. The big sale sign at the department store, the ad pitching 5 bottles of soda for $1, and of course, sale prices that end in 99 cents. Duncan Simister teaches management science at MIT's Sloan School of Management. In a recent Harvard Business Review article, he decodes these pricing cues. One of the most common, he says, is a sale price that ends with the number 9.
Well, there are a lot of stores that, you know, on their regularly priced merchandise, they don't use $9 endings. You know, they use $0 endings or $5 endings. But then when they discount items, they'll put 9s on the end. And I think over time, customers have sort of learned to associate the 9 with a sale.
At some point in your research, you looked at a catalog that actually proves this point, that people are so wedded to the idea of buying something that ends in 9 that they'll do that even if it means paying more for something.
Oh, that's interesting. So, in fact, there were a series of studies here. You know, we repeated this analysis, and we mailed out one set of catalogs with some items priced at say, $44, and another catalog with the same items priced at $49, and they were just sent to sort of random samples of customers. It turns out more people purchased at $49 than purchased at $44, you know, even though the price was higher.
Why do you think people would do that?
Well, I think they're using the $9 ending as a cue that these items have been discounted. And in the absence of any other cue, they use the $9 ending.
Well, you mentioned that so many things end in 9. Well, the other thing that we seem to see that seems to be ubiquitous in the store is the sale sign. Everywhere you look, you see sale signs. Can there be too many sale signs?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's the same with $9 endings. There can be too many $9 endings. You know, the more sale signs you use, the less effective they are at raising demand. So, in fact, retailers won't want to put sale signs on every item.
And again, you looked at a catalog sale to determine how effective these sale signs can be.
That's right. I mean, they're shockingly effective. I mean, you can raise demand by 50% without changing the price.
Wait, you have to explain that. You can raise demand by 50% simply by slapping a sale sign on that item?
I know, it's as shocking as it may seem, but in that study, we sort of sent out catalogs, and in some cases, in both cases, the items were discounted, and in one case, they had a sale sign on them, and in the other case, we took the sale sign off, and you just had about a 50% impact on the demand for the item.
It's interesting because consumers, despite the amount of time that they spend in the store, based on your research, have very little knowledge of how much things should cost. That's counterintuitive.
Well, I think that there's some items they have very good information about how much they should cost. You know, we use the example of tennis balls. You know, people who play a lot of tennis buy a lot of cans of tennis balls. They know exactly how much they should cost. But, say, tennis rackets, which they buy infrequently, they really don't have a good sense of what the price of those rackets should be.
And the retailers, they use this information. They know which items customers will look to as these signposts.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it's no accident that a lot of sporting goods stores take a loss on tennis balls. What's interesting is it's also true that the stores that are offering low prices on tennis balls do tend to have lower prices on tennis rackets. So, you know, it turns out that the queue, it's reasonable for customers to rely on these cues. It turns out that it actually provides them with information.
So, Professor, once you actually started to delve into this field of study and you're always focusing on price cues and the messages that retailers are sending to their customers, I'm trying to imagine what a trip to the grocery store with you must be like.
Yeah, no, I must admit, I think marketing professors as a whole are as susceptible to these cues as everybody else. I think the reassuring thing about this whole field of research is that it turns out, you know, it's not really sustainable for customers to be fooled in the long run. You know, sale signs, they do contain information, and the $9 endings, they contain information too. So it hasn't been the case that we've uncovered something here where customers are just being completely fooled, and therefore when I go into the store, I behave completely differently than everybody else.
Professor Simister, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure.
Duncan Simister teaches management science at MIT's Sloan School of Management.